Can you drink the chalice? My chalice indeed you shall drink. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I was reading the other day about a Louisiana shrimp fishing family, Cajuns from way, way back, who are out of work now, of course, and due to the oil spill, and are just starting to get desperate financially. The father of the family, the family's name is Savan. The father is Stanley, he's 73, and he's whiling away the time waterside, sitting on the dock, repairing his nets. His son, O'Neill, says that he might use his free time to learn the dying art of Cajun shrimp net sewing, something that's been passed on. He thought maybe he would ask his father to teach him. And I thought to myself, what a biblical scene this is, right out of the Gospels. Today, Saint James was first seen by Jesus with his brother John in a ship, we read, with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Today we have two waterside saints, made so as are all saints by the water and the blood which came out of the side of our crucified Savior. Our participation in the Passion of Christ is first baptism and Holy Communion, how we drink the chalice of Christ. St. James then started waterside, and St. Christopher ended up by the water, living on a river bank, carrying travelers across the dangerous currents. They say that St. Christopher, his name means Christ-bearer, was a great giant of a man. He was so tall that he used a tree trunk as a staff when he walked. And at first, as a pagan, all he knew and all he respected was brute force, power, a little bit like James and John, so much so that our Lord nicknamed them the sons of thunder. They only wanted to see God's power and right away punishment on all the bad people in that one village in Samaria. But saving feature, both of them, James and Christopher, had a big heart. They were magnanimous men. And this endeared St. James to Our Lady. Now, they say that St. Christopher, do you know the tale, wanted to find and serve the most powerful man in all the world. He went to a certain king who was busy conquering everybody else, and for a while all was well, but then he noticed one day at the mention of the devil that the king flinched. So Christopher left the king and went to the devil. He was in his service for a while when he saw the devil disturbed by a great cross on the roadside. And so he left the devil and he went to Christ. First, he drank the chalice, that is to say, his baptism, his Holy Communion, as we do in the sacraments which enable us to share in his saving death. But next, after that, to drink the chalice means to spend yourself in the Savior's service, sharing his sufferings. But what was he to do? Well, he sought out a holy hermit who offered to instruct him. And very sincerely, our young convert said, "What must I do?" "Fast," the hermit replied. "Fast, my son." "Ah," he said, "Father, that would be difficult for me. I've never fasted before, and as you see, I'm a giant, and I do have a very big appetite. Is there something else I could try?" "Well," he said, "if you can't fast, then you must pray. You must pray always." "But Father," he said, "I haven't learned my prayers by heart yet. What would I say? Surely there's something I could do to serve Christ, which I know." Well, the hermit thought for a moment, and he led Christopher to the river where many travelers had died trying to cross its treacherous currents. "Stay here," he said. "Take travelers across for nothing, It will be a charitable work for which Christ will be grateful. Admire the prudence of this priest, this ancient hermit. He gave Christopher to do something he could do. And then you know the happy ending of the story. There he stayed. And one proverbially dark and stormy night, there was a knock on his door, and it was only a boy, but he had to get across the river that night. He couldn't wait. And Christopher thought, this will be quickly done, and I'll be back in bed. So he hoisted him up on his shoulder and headed to the rising currents of the river, swollen now by rain. He had a staff, but it became very difficult all of a sudden to walk. There was such a weight that he felt on his shoulders, so heavy. He said, boy, you are so heavy. Why is that? Ah, the child responded, you bear the weight of him who bears the weight of the whole world on his shoulders. Our Lord spoke to him and then disappeared. And prudence put him there, waterside. He was enabled to carry Christ as he could. Consider with me today's gospel, and we go from fathers to mothers. Today's gospel is the first of two scenes concerning Saint James and the mother. That is to say, his physical mother, according to the flesh, who had a lot of what they call prudence of the flesh, Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. She had worldly ambition for her boys. It is true, she brings them to Christ, but she's asking a favor. She wants favored status for her two sons in the kingdom. And all that happens is that she causes a fight amongst the apostles. Salome. How different is Mary, the Virgin and Blessed Mother? She shows her favors, this prudent queen, as she will. And yet she does it with such discretion that everyone feels he has Our Lady's full attention and all of her maternal care lavished just on him. St. Matthew's Gospel today shows us the first scene. The two brothers are scheming with Mom about getting Salome to go up to Christ. Go on, they say, go on, go on. Ask him now, now's the time, to give them the first place. The other 10 hear it. They're upset. They fall to fighting as to who shall be the greater in the kingdom. One ambitious and worldly mother who loved her children too well and failed to grasp the message of the cross. And of course, not the last such mother either. Still, we have not heard the last of the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Contrast her, though, with the Queen of Apostles. How she loved those 12 men as sons, but especially she loved James and John. Now, for St. John, there was no problem because our Lord publicly at Calvary gave him to her as a son, and he took her into his own home. Everyone understood that. But for James, James of the generous heart, who loved Our Lady so, he needed her special protection because he was so prompt always to offer himself for any kind of labor or any kind of danger. Didn't faze him. St. James, you know, was the first apostle to depart Jerusalem as a missionary, and that took him all the way to distant Spain. And returning, he was the first apostle in the year 44 to die under Herod Agrippa as a martyr. But mothers must be impartial. And if a mother has a favorite, she must hide that fact in her heart, especially this blessed mother, whose apostle sons were still a little bit touchy on the point of who would be greater in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, this most prudent queen. Remember, that is how the Venerable Agreda, in the beautiful book, The Mystical City of God, most often refers to Our Lady. This prudent queen, while giving each one of the apostles all of her loving attention and care, lavished extra love on the big-hearted one, on James. But she did it secretly, by graces she granted, by guardian angels that she shared with him, and by appearing to him in private, unknown to the rest, protecting and helping him in his great work of converting Spain and making it Catholic. He had a hard time, James did, because of the Jews that were there, and they would almost have put him to death had Our Lady not rescued him. See today's proper last gospel for the sad story of the Jewish resistance to our Lord. But what about Salome? What became of the mother of the sons of Zebedee? She drank the chalice, which our Lord drank, right away, Good Friday, at Calvary. She was there next to Our Lady herself, the other mother. St. Matthew writes about both of these scenes, that is to say, today's gospel of contention and the chalice, and then the scene of the gospel of Calvary, Good Friday. And in each of these, he refers to that mother as the mother of the sons of Zebedee. He wants us to understand that eventually she understood, and her perspective was all changed. What changed her? Well, she joined the group. She was in the company of Jesus, one of those women who followed him, the Master, and took care of the physical needs of cooking and the rest for our Lord and the apostles. And in so doing, she was right with Mary. Nobody could be following Jesus in the company of Mary without somehow learning that hard lesson of humility. Can you drink the chalice? In olden times, you know, at a banquet, it was considered a great honor for the king to send a chalice, a cup from the table from which he had drunk, to someone as a sign of friendship. You may never, unlike Salome, have approached Christ to ask him for some great grace or favor in your life. Although I wish you would, and you do it with great confidence. But still, our Lord asks you to drink his chalice. Not in a martyr's swift draft, and it's down, but slowly, sip by sip, to savor, yes, the sorrows of your life. The personal failures, the physical pain, financial woe, family conflicts, and disappointments and divisions, and that little litany that St. Paul lists in today's epistle, to say nothing of those hidden daggers that find their way to the soul. Mix them all into the chalice each day with your morning offering, many days by attending Holy Mass. I do not say that these sorrows are going to be turned into joys for you. They will not be sweet all the time, but if you befriend them and share them with our Lord, you will find that joy you were always looking for. For some, it could be something so simple as a good shrimp season again and clean water in the Gulf. In the meantime, though, they're repairing their nets waterside. And so do we. That is our work every Sunday as we come to Mass. We're mending our nets waterside by his side, whence flows blood and water. If he calls you, and he will, get out your net and come after him, O fisher of men. But he'll stop at some point. He'll turn. And he'll ask you first about that chalice. Can you drink it? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.